Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 After. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the 8th anniversary of the day we were attacked by evil people. People who are intolerant, who care nothing about the lives of innocent people. But I believe the human spirit is the most powerful force in our world. But unfortunately, a single evil spirit is often more powerful than a good one. The reason for this inequity is because it's the nature of evil to be fanatical and to be aggressive, while it's the nature of the good to be gentle, often complacent, and sometimes even naive. The good news is that there are more good people in this world than evil ones. But that math only works, to paraphrase Edmund Burke, if the good work together against the evil. We can't afford to be naive, my friends. We don't have the luxury of being complacent. This is no time for gentleness. Even now, 8 years later, this is still no time for gentleness. We owe it to those who gave their lives to never forget the images we saw on that day, September the 11th, 2001, to never forget what that evil hath wrought. We got to work together, folks, all of us, across the world, until we rid ourselves of this evil called terrorism. However long it takes, whatever it takes, we can claim no other comparable blessing to offset the imbalance between the power of good and the forces of evil. One of the guys that I would always want to have always asked to join us on this day as we commemorate this day is our good friend Rich Galen. Rich is in Washington D.C., and which is one of the, as you know, when the Pentagon was attacked, he was there. Not very far away, actually. Rich is our good friend. Rich Galen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. That was a very nice thing to read.
Well, those are some thoughts that I had not long after that. And I go back and I look at things. I wrote a poem, and I wrote down those thoughts. I wrote down the top 10 things that I know to be true about terrorism not long after that, but they still speak to me.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't changed. I mean, people that want to do... As some, you know, other people have said, the people that want to do bad things only have to be right once. The people that are protecting us have to be right every time.
I got to thinking about that after that. One of the things that permeates everything that I think about this day, this commemorating this day, is the how easy evil is to leverage, and how uneasy it is for good to leverage. For example, you're a good person and you can do good today, but you can't do as much good as someone else could do evil today.
Right.
And so that means, as I said about the math, that means that all of us, all good people, we have to collectively be as determined as and as patient in fighting them as they are in fighting us.
Well, that's it. I hadn't thought about that, and I'm not sure. There's probably some mathematical formula that describes that inequity, but it is awfully true. The you can build a lot of F-22s, but it doesn't do any good against some kid that's been talked into wearing a vest full of C4 and walking into a marketplace.
And if America thinks that we're going to be attacked by airplanes the next time, I think that's pretty naive, don't you?
Oh yeah, well, I mean that's the nature of the beast. I mean, and it's something that again everybody says. I mean, generals are always fighting the last war. Political people are always running the last campaign.
Right.
But years ago, Rumsfeld, with whom I was not a pal. I don't want to misconstrue my relationship with former Secretary of Defense. But we were somewhere at the same time. And he said that he had a bunch of guys. That all he gathered them up. It's a little bit like the 3 days of the Condor. He had them sitting in a room and thinking about the worst possible things that could happen mm-hmm. to the United States. What kind of attacks people could perpetrate against us, and then as it's called, track the cat back and figure out how to stop it.
Yeah.
And that's what their job was. Their job was to just think the most.
Do you think that's still
thoughts.
Going? You think that's still going on today?
There's no question about it. It's the only way you can protect against it.
Even the current environment, where it seems that some people have forgotten, do you think that there's still people doing that?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, not everybody's forgotten, Jim. I mean, you know, your son gave years of his life to representing us, and there's people that followed him, you know, into Afghanistan or Iraq. I mean, so there are people that are doing this all the time.
No, I believe that we have the organizations that are doing this. But do you think America has the same resolve today as we had 6-7 years ago?
No, but you never do. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this while I was waiting to come on the air. You know, in 8 years after Pearl Harbor was 1949, and we didn't get around to returning sovereignty to Japan for another 3 years after that,
mm-hmm.
until 1952. But by 1949, everybody was, you know, back to, you know, inflation was big because people mm-hmm. were buying stuff. Everybody was on the GI Bill. So, I think it's a good
thing. But Japan
has stopped
being, but Japan has stopped being a threat to us. We still have, and I'm going to ask Rich when we come back after these messages, how big a threat does he think is still out there from Al-Qaeda? 22. Stay with us.
Everybody's blue when they lonesome. Everybody.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. You can read, you can listen, you can ask questions, get answers, check out my blog, subscribe to my newsletter. Whatever's on your mind under the small business sun, we got something that will help you there. Hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Rich Galen is our guest. Rich is a political operative of the Republican persuasion, in the interest of full disclosure. He spins to the right, as he says, and he's the publisher and the CEO over at the big organization called Mullings.com. It's a thrice weekly publication that I recommend to you. If you're a Republican, you're going to want to read what he has to say. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what he's up to. Rich, as we're commemorating we're celebrating the lives, we're remembering the people who gave their lives and those who tried to help save them. 8 years ago on September the 11th, I was told the audience in the previous hour that I had just gotten off the air and doing my show and got in my car to go to an appointment, and the radio said a plane's just crashed into a building in New York City, and I just thought it was like a small plane or something. So I came back in and turned the television on, turned the car off, came back in the office, turned the television on, watched and saw it. We still didn't know exactly what was going on, and sat there in about 10 minutes, watched the other plane bank hard and fly into the other building.
That's almost exactly what I did. I was working out of my house at the time, and I was, as usual, watching some old movie while I was, you know, typing. And my wife called and said the same thing, so I turned it on to one of the news channels. And it must have been at exactly the same time, because about 10 minutes later, I just stood there in horror and watched that happen. But, you know, I used to play Microsoft Flight Simulator a lot when I was pretending to work.
And I was going to say, when you were supposed to have had a job.
Exactly. And I said it after that. I said it to the plane to a 757 mm-hmm. and, you know, went up the Hudson River. And, you know, at 400 or so miles an hour, it's not that easy to hit one of those buildings.
Right.
I mean, it sounds silly, but those guys really did train to do the evil that they did.
Well, as I say, when you saw the second plane, he was banking hard
to get
that building.
Yeah.
He had to really or misjudged, I should say. When we went to the break, we were talking about the resolve of Al-Qaeda, of radical Islam, the people who hate us, the intolerant people who are out there, the evil people, murderers who care nothing at all about innocent lives. Do you think that they still have the same resolve? Are they still as organized? Have we beat them back at all, Rich? What do you think?
Oh, I think we have. I don't know that we've contained them, but we've certainly damaged them. I mean, we have expended enormous amount of treasure and lives in doing that. So I don't know that it's been a very efficient campaign. But on the other hand, they're still there. I mean, that's the problem facing President Obama with respect to what he's going to do about Afghanistan.
Right.
If you if we pull out the troops out, then the Taliban doesn't just leap back in. I mean, they ride back in and, you know, like victors.
And somebody said the Taliban didn't attack us, but the Taliban trained Al Qaeda, didn't they?
That I was going to say, or they allowed Afghanistan to be in
a haven.
The band camp with a bad attitude, and gave them the run of the country, and then they could build up strength and build, you know, and train until they were ready to come after us or Spain or France or Great Britain or whoever. I mean, you know, it's as you said earlier, it is an asymmetrical war because, you know, one person, those three guys that were just convicted in Britain, I mean, they were going to kill a couple of thousand people on airplanes by bringing bomb materials in separate little vials.
I created a top 10 things that I know to be true, or I believe to be true, about terrorism, about the war on terrorism. One of the things that I said is that there are no front lines, there are no demilitarized zones.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There is no
no rear areas or safe harbors.
And it's, you know, again, I got in this a good deal of trouble with my readers when I wrote about F-22s and F-35s. But the you know that when the military said they only needed 186 F-22s,
right.
I had them. Thank you. You know you can't use an F-22 against, as I said earlier, against a kid in a marketplace.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's what we're trying to do. And it is such a complex matrix of economics, society, culture, religion, psychology. I mean, there's just so much that goes into this. And I'm not anywhere near smart enough to figure it out. If anybody could, we'd have it figured out.
You know, Rich, and by the way, folks, the day after Rich would join me on the show on September the 12th, 2001, I invited Rich to be on to reflect on what had just happened. And so he and I have been doing this now for some time. Rich, do you think, you know, complacency, lack of maintenance of our systems, our intelligence and communication among organizations, the maintenance of all that had gone straight down in the years prior to when we were attacked. Do you think that that's eroding again? That maintenance is allowed to become deferred again?
Oh yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. It's
at what level?
Well, I think at every conceivable level, it starts, you know, in the office of the president, any president, with the Office of Management and Budget, they kind of lay down the guidelines, and it works its way all through the system. And the problem, as you know, at the Pentagon, is that the numbers are so enormous that the attention to detail, you know, at the senior levels where these decisions get made is really lacking because the numbers are so big. And, you know, they're competing. The Air Force is competing with the Marines,
right.
And the ground guys are competing with the air
Hold
guys.
Hold on to that thought, Rich. I'm going to let Rich finish that thought right after these messages, and we're going to wrap it up right after these messages. Tintel, I'm Jim Blassingame. Rich Galen is our guest.
Night has come, and the land is dark.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Rich Galen is with us. We're commemorating the attack and the lives. We're remembering what was done to us, the attack on America 8 years ago. We're commemorating the lives of the almost 3,000 people who died and the thousands who helped to try to help save them, and the millions who've been impacted by this evil deed. And we're talking with Rich about Rich. As we went to the break, we were talking about my question to you was, do you think that we've allowed our maintenance to become deferred, and are we in jeopardy of another attack?
Yes, to both, unfortunately, I mean, not just the in terms of maintenance, not just the hardware maintenance, such as tanks and trucks and planes, but I think the maintenance of look what's going on between the Congress and the CIA.
I don't understand that. And the Attorney General.
Yeah.
I do not understand. Please explain this to me, Rich.
Well, these are people who have always believed, going back to the days of Vietnam, if not before that, that the CIA was the embodiment of evil and everything that's wrong with the kumbaya view of the world.
Yeah.
And these are the people that, and we both know a lot of them, that go out there and try to figure out what the bad guys are thinking about and trying to figure out how to stop them before they get to do it. A typical CIA case officer is truly at the pointy end of the pointy
yes.
end of the sword. I mean,
mm-hmm.
from a qualitative standpoint, I mean, the CIA or any intelligence agency is by definition the eyes and ears of the chief of state, whether
mm-hmm.
it's here or Britain or Germany or wherever it is.
Isn't the president, doesn't, I know George Bush at least, got a CIA report every morning.
Yeah, so the VP.
Is Obama still, you know, I don't think Mr. Clinton got that every day.
I don't know the answer
I think that's the case, but is Mr. Obama getting one every day, do you know?
Don't have any idea.
I'd like to know that though, wouldn't you?
It'd be nice to know. I do know because I'm pretty good friends with Tom Ridge, who was the first DHS
yeah.
secretary, that even he got the reports every morning because they needed to share information because they had different eyes looking at different things. But the
do you think our government is being I want to say naive and be respectful, but I mean, what do you think the attitude is in Washington right now about? I mean, we can't say war on terrorism anymore. What does that mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it is the people that are in power now, both in the House, the Senate, and the White House writ large, the executive branch, they were not in their positions on September 8 years ago, obviously. And as you say, the memories have dimmed, the issues have been, it's like footprints literally on the sand. I mean, the enough waves come in and the footprints disappear.
Now, there's no question, you and I neither one of us are saying, no question, that we know these people do not want this to happen. They do not want this to happen, period, let alone on their watch.
Right.
But is it just naivete, or is it a different worldview? What is it?
Yeah, I think both of those are true. I really believe that Obama, President Obama, believes that if he can sit down and talk with somebody like Ahmadinejad, face-to-face, or
yeah.
Hugo Chavez, or trade books with Hugo Chavez, or whatever it is, that he can at least get them to leave us alone, whether or not he can get them to change their ways. And, you know, maybe he's right. I mean,
yeah.
that's fine. The problem, as you said it way at the beginning of this segment, you know, if the problem is if you're wrong, the results are devastating.
Yeah.
And if we're right, the results are, you know, are incremental.
Yeah.
And so it's better, I think, and this go back to the CIA and the DOD and all the other agencies that have some, the Coast Guard even.
Right.
Their job is to make sure that if the national policy is wrong,
right.
that we're still ready to defend ourselves and to try to intercept bad guys before they can get here.
Rich, I got 30 seconds left. I'm going to let you have the last thoughts as you reflect on today.
You know, part of as we talked about a little bit, it's too bad that we don't remember September 11th with the same vigor as we did in year two or year three or year four. The other side of that is, I think that is truly the nature of the human race. Is that
yeah.
we don't forget, but we do move on,
mm-hmm.
and we try to make the world a better place, and I hope we're doing that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Well said. Thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, my friend.
Rich Gatel, ladies and gentlemen, truly a great American. Rich has not stopped. He hasn't forgotten. He continues to work on this, and if you follow him, you'll see what I'm talking about. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to say God bless America. God bless every one of our members of military standing posts around the world and every member of whatever organization is working hard to keep us safe. God bless you, everyone. I'm Jim Blessingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.